morning, everyone. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. I'm in Zechariah chapter 7, starting in verse 11. But they refused to hearken and pulled away the shoulder and stopped their ears that they should not hear. Yea, they made their hearts as an adamant stone, lest they should hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts hath sent in his spirit by the former prophets. Therefore came a great wrath from the Lord of hosts. Therefore it has come to pass that as he cried, and they would not hear, so they cried, and I would not hear, saith the Lord of hosts.
Thank you, brother. Fine job in leading us in songs and prayers and scripture reading. And thank you so much for being here this Lord's Day morning. Last Sunday morning, we looked at the gospel or the good news of Christ. This Sunday morning, we're going to look at the gospel or the good news of God. The word gospel is found 101 times in the King James Version in the New Testament. 59 out of those 101 times, we find the word standing alone simply as the word gospel. 13 times out of the 101 times, we find the word gospel accompanied with the phrase of Christ, gospel of Christ or good news of Christ. 7 times out of the 101 times is found with the phrase of God, gospel or good news of God. And that's what our lesson is about this Lord's Day morning, the good news of God. First of all, the gospel of God, the good news of God is there is a God. There is a God that loves you and cares for you and desires you to go to heaven. And that is good news. In this world engulfed in despair and trouble and disappointment and crime and violence, that there is a God, a world filled with drunkenness and lies and liars and drug addict, there is a God that loves you and cares. That's good news. And I mean this with all that I am. If I thought it would do some good, I'd climb the highest building in Humble, overlooking the busiest street in Humble, and I would cry out with the loudest of voice, the good news of God is there is a God, there is a God. He loves you and cares about you. They wouldn't listen to me. They say, that guy's a nut. He's some type of fanatic. You take the same ones that call me a nut, call me a fanatic, and you put them on a railroad track, and a train's coming, and they don't hear it, and they don't see it. I'm crying out with the loudest of voice, here comes death, here comes destruction. Get off the track that you may be saved. And at the last moment, they hear my cries, and they turn and look, and they jump off the track, and that train just rushes on by. Now what would they call me? Oh, he's my hero. He's my hero. Well, what's the difference? I tell you the difference. Destruction by a train is instant. Spiritual destruction is eternal. What's the difference? Get off the broad path, world. Get on the narrow path that you may be saved. We today don't have the monopoly over those who will not listen. The brother read the text, and a fine job he did. In the days of Zechariah, he writes, they would not hearken to the words of the Lord. They would not hearken. They stopped up their ears. No, they shrugged their shoulders. They stopped up their ears. Literally, they turned their backs. And would not hear the words spoken by the Lord of hosts. Therefore, it happened as I proclaimed, and they would not hear. Now they cry out, and I will not listen. Listen, world. The judgment day is coming. Here comes death and destruction upon all those that are on the broad path. Get off the broad path. That time will come, you'll be separated with the ghost to the left, cast in the devil's hell, and there you'll cry out, beg God, please. But he says, then I will not listen. The good news of God, there is a God that he loves you. He loves you, and he's not a respecter of person concerning his love. Oh, there's a special love for his children, but he loves the drunkard just as much as he loves that good old friend or Joe in the world. He loves the meanest man in the world. He loves those who are involved in some type of error, faith, Muslimism, Judaism, or denominational. He loves them, and he wants them to be saved. 1 Timothy 2:4 speaks how God desires all to be saved. Who, God, would have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. That's what God wants. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness toward usward, but not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's what God wants. He wants us to get off the broad path. He wants us to turn our life around. That's repentance, and get on the narrow path. And the reason being, the next verse, verse 10, because the judgment day is coming. The day of the Lord cometh as a thief in the night, when the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the firmament shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth and the works thereof shall be burnt up. Get off the broad path. Get on the narrow path. Judgment is coming. And then he speaks to the reasonable-minded people of the world in verse 11. Seeing all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be? That's what God wants. God desires you to be saved. However, the devil, your enemy, he desires you to be lost. He knows he's going to hell. And he wants to hurt God. In so doing, he wants to take all they that are created in the image of God with him as far as possible. God votes for you. The devil votes against you. But you, brethren, cast the deciding vote. We can overcome. The good news of God is we can overcome Satan's desires. James says this in James 4:7. Submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh unto God, and he'll draw nigh unto you. The closer we get to God, you know, I sure hope none of my grandchildren are messing with the telephone. I hope they're not. The devil desires you to be lost. But God says, the good news is you can resist the devil. Resist the devil, he will flee from you. Draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you. That's what God wants. Resist the devil. Tell me, how can I resist the devil? He has not left us powerless. God has not. 2 Peter 1:3, according to his divine power, he has given us all things that pertain to life and to godliness. All that we need to help us in our day-to-day life, he has given us. All we need to help us to become more godlike, he says, I have given you. Well, God, what have you given me to help me resist the devil? Look at the life of my son. 1 Peter 2:21, Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his footsteps. What example do we have from the life of Jesus to help us resist the devil? Matthew 4 and other passages as well. 40 days of fasting at a time when the Lord was at a very weak moment physically in his life. The Satan took advantage of that. And when your world is turned upside down, you better believe Satan will take advantage of that. He came and wanted Jesus to use his divine powers at Satan's beckoning whim. He says, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. Then he took Jesus, the King James says, to an exceeding high mountain and showed him in a moment of time the kingdoms of the world. All these shall be yours if you'll fall down one time and blow me a kiss or worship me. Then he took him up on a high pinnacle and tried to tempt him to call down the angelical host. Cast thyself down, Satan said, for it is written, he will give his angels charge over thee, lest at any time ye shall dash thy heel against a stone. He who had all authority, Matthew 28:18. He who could have called down 12 legions of angels to destroy the world and set him free, Matthew 26:53. He in whom the fullness of the Godhead dwelled bodily, Colossians 2:9. But he didn't lean upon his divine power. He set us an example that we may follow in his footsteps. Three times he was tempted, and all three times, verse 4, verse 7, verse 10, he says, it is written, it is written, it is written. And it worked. And it worked for Jesus, and it'll work for you and me right here in Humble, Texas. It will just filter all of our choices through the Word of God. But thirdly, the gospel of God is good news because it reveals unto us that where righteousness abides, your enemy, the devil, cannot abide. It's like light and darkness. They cannot occupy the same space at the same time. David, the psalmist, he defines what righteousness is. Psalms 119:172. All of God's commandments are righteousness. So where righteousness abides, he cannot abide. And all of God's commandments is righteousness. I must fill my mind with all of God's commandments. I must be like the psalmist of Psalms 1. Mikarioi, oh, bless, happy are. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. I'm not listening to the world. Nor standeth in the way of sinners. I'm not going to defend sin. Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in it doth he meditate day and night. Where righteousness abide, he cannot abide. And we cannot mingle the two together. It will corrupt all the good in my mind. James puts it like this. Can a brook, James 3:11, can a brook put forth both good water, good and bitter water? Not at the same time. The bad water will spoil the good. How can I know that I'm a man of righteousness? Well, I can hope. Oh, I hope I'm all right with God. No, I hear my own brethren saying that. We can know that we're right with God. 1 John 2:3, hereby do we know that we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Romans 8:16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with my spirit that I am a child of God, or you are a child of God. How does the Spirit itself bear witness with your spirit that you're a child of God? The writings of the New Testament or the Bible is done by the Holy Spirit, third person of Godhead. And it's through the writings of the Holy Spirit I know what I must do to become a child of God. I must be buried in water, the Holy Spirit says so. Specifically to wash my sins away, the Spirit says so. And when I'm raised up out of the baptism pool, you're born again. You're joined with Jesus. You're added to his church, his family, his kingdom, the Spirit says so. And when I do what the Spirit says so, I can go and open up the Bible and say, see, right here it is. That's the Spirit bearing witness with your spirit that you are a child of God. Again, in 1 Peter 2:21, Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his footsteps. But most will not. Most will not. The majority are going to go to hell. Jesus says so, Matthew 7:13-14. And this is not anything new that man today will not follow in the footsteps of Jesus. Back in the days of Paul, in the first century, he had the same scenario. Man would not follow. And Paul writes in Romans 1, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Sound familiar? And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly. Sound familiar? And receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, sound familiar? God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy and murder, debate, deceit, malignant, whispers, backbiters, haters of God. Sound familiar? Despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to... Sound familiar? Disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? We're going to say the same thing, but this time let's use different words. Gangs, guns, violent, crime, drugs, drug use, homosexuality, pro-choice. And society wants to blame gangs, guns, violence, and crime, and drug use. They want to blame it on racism. Society, our liberal friends, want to blame it on the police. Want to blame it on poverty. Want to blame it on ignorance. But listen to me, my brethren. Gangs, guns, violence, crime, drug use is not the result of racism, police, or poverty, or ignorance. It's a result of a generation of children being brought up without God in their life. That's exactly what it is. And Joshua, listen to this. Joshua 24:31. Joshua dies. And all that generation that outlived Joshua remained faithful to the Lord. Then you go into the next book, the next book. And Judges, and then the second chapter of Judges in verse 10. It speaks of all the elders of that generation of Joshua that died. Then it rose up another generation, it says, that knew not God. Apostasy from God is only a generation away. And when parents stop raising their children without God, then those children grow up and they become parents. And then that next generation is going to be a generation brought up without God. And without God in one's life, human life is no longer sacred. I want to say it again. Without God in one's life, human life is no longer sacred. Without God in one's life, honor among men is no longer important. Without God in one's life, one's self-esteem is no longer important. Without God in one's life, one's personal responsibility is no longer important. That's the world we live in, for the most part. But wait a minute. In the midst of all this ungodliness and perversion and sexual immorality, there is a God. There is a God. And the good news of God is He's a great and awesome God. Not only is He God of earth, but He's the God of heaven, Genesis 24:3. He's the God of the universe, Acts 17:24. In this world of hate, He's the God of love, Romans 15:16. In this world of war, He's the God of peace, 2 Corinthians 1:3. In this world of lost causes, He's the God of hope, Romans 15:13. He's the God of grace. He's the God of truth. He's the God of judgment. He's the God of salvation unto all that will obey Him. Though He were a son, yet learnt obedience by the things in which He suffered. And being made perfect, He became the author of eternal salvation. Here it is, unto all that obey Him. The good news of God is there is a God. I had a couple back in Tennessee just yesterday. We had a phone of counseling, I guess. They're having troubles in their marriage. And they tell me they ain't been to church in 3 months, or one time in 3 months. I said, no wonder you're having trouble. What do you recommend, Ricky? I tell you what you do. You having trouble in your home? Hey, wives, you having trouble with your husband? Or vice versa? You go home and get your spouse by the ear, figuratively, and say, do you want this marriage to work? That's what I asked them. Do you want it to work? Do you love your husband? Yeah. Do you love your wife? Yeah. You want this marriage to work? Well, yeah. Then both give yourselves to God. Weave God in and out of that home. Saturate that home with God in it. Let your children see you praying and hear you praying and lifting up their names unto God. And you and your husband get together and you work for Jesus in the community in which you live. And I guarantee you, you will have a happy and successful home. It'll work. It'll work. But if one does not want it to work, then it won't work. God is good news. And the good news of God is found in the pages of His book, the Bible. It is God that makes life worth living. It's God that gives meaning to identity. It's God that gives meaning to the universe. It's God that gives meaning to my very existence, to my life. God is good news. And if mankind is to have any hope after the doctor says, I'm sorry, there's nothing else I can do, if mankind is to have any hope after the long drive to the graveyard, then man must cease seeking freedom from God and start seeking a relationship with God. And He's given us everything we need to find that relationship. Again, 2 Peter 1:3. According to His divine power, William, He's given you everything that pertains to life. Willis, He's given you everything that pertains to godliness. He's given us all, everything that we need to help us in our day-to-day life and to help us to become more godly. That's good news. Good news. The good news of God is there is a God. And what good news it is in a world filled with mamas killing babies just because they don't want to be a mama. No other reason. What good news it is for what... that there is a God that loves you in a world where there's young boys and young girls selling their body to get a 5-minute high. There is a God. What good news it is in a world of ugliness and ungodliness and homosexuality and lies and liars and drug use. There is a God. And that's good news. And if I thought it'd do any good, I'd climb the highest building in Humble, Texas, overlooking the most busiest street in Humble, Texas, and I'd cry out with the loudest voice, there is a God, there is a God, there is a God. But they won't listen. They'll label me as a nut. You take the same ones that call me a nut, and they're on a railroad track, and I'm hollering from my loudest of voice, here comes death, here comes destruction, here comes a train, get off the track that you may be saved. And at the last moment, they hear my cries, and they turn and look and jump off the track, and that train just rushes on by. Now they would call me their hero. What's the difference? World, get off the broad path. The judgment day is coming. If you die on the broad path, you'll be separated with the goats. You'll be cast into everlasting fire with the devil and his angels. And as God has cried out again and again and again unto you, and you would not listen, you turned your back on Him, you stopped up your ears, then hell, you'll cry out for mercy. You'll cry out for one more opportunity. God, please, God, give me one more chance. But then He says, I will not listen. Good news of God, hey, right here, right now, the good news of God is you're alive. And you have one more opportunity, at least, to get right with God. Will you take advantage of this opportunity to get right with God? You may leave this building and get in a car wreck and die before the sun goes down. No reason to leave this building not right with God. Please, if you haven't been baptized for remission of sins, you need to do that. If you apostatize, you have committed public sin, well, now's the time. I'm standing up here waiting on you. Come down here and we'll pray with you and for you. If need to be born again, we'll take care of that as well. Please come while together we stand and sing.